Paragas Rustish and Kulishlema, such how Israel. Also, the Ilui Nishmas Hadagi ben Avram, that's from Shabsi, from Sheldon and Rachel Lerner, and Shomisha and Halia, and also the Rubenstein Mishpacha, Skusi Rafurishlema, our friend Rafal Ben Khanish, and Fushem, such how Kali Israel. Shlav Rishon Hisnagdus Mochletus Ludea Hisaseres. We're going to start from Erech. Yeah, we're up to Toriyud. So we're going to start from Avinair's commentary. We'll do it together with Avinair's commentary. This Torah is really a continuation of the last one, or not a continuation, it's a hashlama of the last one, called Erech Melchemes Hadeos. Toriyud. Page 104 of the Torah is on 105. Okay, my way of Hagdama for a minute, I began to talk about this a little bit last week. And it's important because it's in this context that Rav Kook was living and he was teaching. And in that time of the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, and I mentioned last week just to you that all of these Torahs, this part of Aris HaKadosh, of Chochmas HaKadosh, are talking about the steers, the contradictions, internal, external, and how we're supposed to face these opposing ideologies, opposing ways, different ways that people emote, feel, think, even imagine, that oppose our own ways individually as a people. How are we supposed to deal with all of the steerus of life? It's really what this section of Chochmas HaKadosh is about. Melchemes Hadeos. It's not just, as we learned in the last Torah test, it's not just about conflicting ideas and concepts. It's about conflicts bichlal, and how to make shalom. And shalom is something which ultimately depends on that shalom hapnimi that we learned the person has within himself. That from that place of shalom hapnimi, a person is able to make shalom when it comes to all of these steros. That doesn't mean that we agree with everything. And we're going to talk more about that in this Torah. But by way of Hagdama, I just brought this up last week. The Nazir, Susi Elenu, of David Cohen, of Cook's Talmud, in his shiurim on this section of Chochmas HaKadosh, was reviewing the milchamas, the wars that took place, not physical wars, but the wars of ideas, of hashkofas. The wars that took place, the Toldos Yisrael, going back to the time of the Middle Ages, I think all of you know that there was a huge, huge milchama regarding the Rambam. And that whole Beis HaMedrash, that whole school of the Tzaddikim, of the Rishonim, who were not only proficient, not only were they bekiyim in philosophy, the philosophy that was at that time in the countries of the Muslims, but also Greek philosophy and so on. And they introduced that mahalach of thinking into Torah Yisrael. I think that you are all familiar to one degree or another of the machlokes that took place against the Rambam, ad kedei kach, that the Rambam's svarim were burned in public, which is a terrible stain on our history, you know, that it happened such a thing. And it's hard to know how much we've suffered as a result of that. But nevertheless, at the time, even though we can't understand this really now, but at the time, there was a huge milchama against the Rambam. And it was not conducted by simple people. There were great, great Rishonim. And even with all of the respect that the Ramban had for the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, there were also, wasn't Poshet,
Nope.
There were machlekes in others at the Ramban, Rabbi Yonah, and other Rishonim. Meir Halevi Abulafia, the Ramban, against the Rambam, certain parts of the Rambam's teachings. We're not talking about his halachas, we're talking about his Marei Nevuchim and other teachings of the Rambam. There was a huge debate that went on for quite some time and was causing tremendous turmoil in Jewish communities everywhere regarding the question of what place does secular wisdom and secular philosophy have within Klai Yisrael. That was one huge, huge milchama. Then a few hundred years later, the milchama surrounding the Haskalah, the time of the Enlightenment, and what happened in Europe, with Moshe Mendelssohn and Tully Hertz Wiesel, and the tzaddikim, both in terms of the from Chassidim and from the Misnagdim, that fought a war against the Haskalah. That was a tremendous, tremendous milchama also that caused tremendous, tremendous upheaval in Klai Yisrael. And then moving forward from there, another 150 years less, was the machlokas regarding Zionism, regarding secular Zionism. And to one degree or another, these machlokas and on some level are still present within Klai Yisrael, but in a different way. Now, what the Nazir explains over there in the shiur that he gave on this section of Aris HaKadosh was that all of these machlokes, for instance, if we just take the Zionism, so the machlokes against Zionism wasn't against the, but the Nazir explains, and this is what Rav Kook is talking about, the machlokes against Zionism wasn't against the etzim hadavar, the essence of Zionism. The essence of Zionism is a law of Eretz Yisrael. What believing Jew has a problem with that? The ahavas Tzion, ahavas Yerushalayim, a longing to be back in our land, and so on. It wasn't the milchama against that actual Deya of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim. And many people that don't learn this properly, they misunderstand the hisnagdus of the tzaddikim, the many tzaddikim who were against Zionism. It's not chas v'sholom against the inyan of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't for lack of love of Eretz Yisrael. The Michas Elozer, the Satan Rebbe in modern times, there were tzaddikim that were meshugah with Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the problem. The machlokes was not against the etzem hara'ayon, the actual idea. The war was against what Rav Kook is going to talk about right now. It was against the hispashtus of those ideas. How those ideas, once they fell into the hands of non-religious people and of non-believers, how that kedusha of Zionism was defiled by Jews who were not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. The machlokes was never against the etzem hadavar. And therefore, since the Etzem HaDavar is the Pach Sheven of Hanukkah with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, there's always a way to get back to that. Because that lies at the shurish of the whole commotion over Zionism was Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, was a Dveikus Eretz Yisrael. For that, there's no, that's something which is, that's not a question. But how that was taken by small people, by all different kinds of people, and was distorted and misrepresented, that caused there to be tremendous, tremendous uproar among many tzaddik against what they saw as a movement that was heretical, was kfir basha. And no one ever said, not the Satmar Rebbe, not the Michas Elozer, and not any of those tzaddikim ever said there was something wrong about the Etzem Hadavah, the rayon itself, the idea itself of Shivas Zion, wasn't the issue. This is, where did that go? What happened to that idea? And what the Nozer explains is that what Kook is writing about here is how small people, even though they might be brilliant, but small people who are lacking in Yiras Shamayim will often take the psolas of the idea. Because they'll take the klipas, they'll take the peels. They'll take the peels of the idea, and they'll go with that in a way that's against Torah Mitzvahs, and they build a whole sheet of life around that which contains the kernel of emes. It is a binyan, but it became a whole building of tumah. And it's the same thing when it came to the Haskalah, and when it came to the Hisnagdus, which I mentioned, of course, the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. There's also a huge machlokas, Hasidim and Misnagdim. But there too, what's the Etzim Hadavr is Avodas Hashem. The Hasidim and the Misnagdim, the Nozer explains here too, that the essence was ignored, and there was a spashtus, that inyan, what Chassidus was ma'orer in Klal Yisrael. So the Misnagdim took that, and they ran with that. Some of them were great people, some of them were not great people. But it wasn't the Etzem Hadover, which is a longing of Jews to become connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a machlokes. And with the Haskalah, the same thing. The pnimius of the Haskalah was that the Jewish people are degraded and humiliated in Golis, and we have to work. We have to go to work. We have to lift ourselves up, and we have to stop being so dependent upon our enemies. And part of that, when it was taken by people who were not coming from a place of holiness, so that went off. Into all of those distant branches and fruits that the Haskalah that led to terrible assimilation, and Mendelssohn's own family, Moshe Mendelssohn's own family, you know, his children and grandchildren, the children were converted, and the grandchildren were all goyim, and what became of the Haskalah, and what grew out of that, the reform movement, the conservative movement, all kfiris, and all kinds of things that came out from that, but the Etzem Hadavah was not true. Was not against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Pnimius HaChacham was something which was good. And the same thing when it comes to the whole Indian with philosophy, and therefore Rav Kook's dream, Rav Kook's vision, was to bring all of these to resolve all of these steers, to resolve all of these contradictions by focusing on the etzem of each of these machlekesim and to develop and to work with the underlying truth, which is what we were learning in the previous mamar, which is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The maskilim, chassidim, the tzionim, you know. I mean, the Michas Lozer was angry with Agud also. He used to say, called Tzomer L'chulamayim, Tzionistim, Zechistim, Abudistim. He had all those things. He wanted them all gone. Not Chasson, that they should be die, but he wanted all the Shittas. He was fire against Agud also. He felt it was a concession to modernism and so. But to Zionism. But Rav Kook wanted to resolve all of the steers, because the underlying yesod of all of these movements is holy. And once we focus on the shorish and not the anafim, we can get back to that place of achdus, which we were talking about at the end of Shir Hashirim, the end of last time, Shir Hashirim Hashem Lishlam, the song of songs. Because the song of all of these songs, the songs themselves are often hard to hear, but the song of songs, that shir of Klal Yisrael seeking to have a connection to the Bari Olam, that song of songs is in all of these movements of Am Yisrael. In all of the movements of Am Yisrael, there's always that song of songs. So if Kook was unbelievably idealistic, and many tzaddikim, many of his own talmidim felt in a certain way he was naive in such a way, even though he was such a genius. And he wanted, he believed very, very much that it was possible before Mashiach comes to get back to the shirish of all of these things. And I'll just share with you something I've read to you in the past, we've learned together in the past, in his letters, it's in the first chelik of the Igris, on page Shindalit. So the person who wrote him a letter was writing about different divisions in the Klal Yisrael. And at the end, Rav Kook writes, Avodas Avodas HaKodesh shall slilas haderach v'asiyas ha-gishorim v'natahoymeis ha-mafridim. Just listen to the words. What's our Avodas HaKodesh? Slilas haderach, paving a path. V'asiyas gishorim. What does it mean, asiyas ha-gishorim?
Bridges.
Building bridges. Bein ha-tahomos ha-mafridim. What's tahomos? The depths of what seems to be separating Jews. To build bridges. Zosi avoda shayisi chafes shetia chaviva al kol ha'oskim b'nishmasa da'araisa. This is the avoda that I'm hoping would be beloved to all those ha'oseg b'nishmasa da'araisa. He meant to all Jews, but but the leaders of this bridge building effort would have to be those who are oseg b'nishmasa da'araisa. What does that mean? We learned what it means, Nishmasa. We're learning Pnimisa Torah. Also, Oiskim and Nishmasa. Because remember, in that place of Nishmasa, the Raisa, that's where you're getting back to what? The Sharish, the root. The Machlokes are not in the Zohar and the Arizal. Machlokes are in Halacha and in the outgrowths and the branches of Pnimisa Torah. But when you go, Pnimisa Torah taking the Nishmasa, the Raisa, just like Jews are not having Machlokes in our Nishamas. We have the same neshama that Theodor Herzl had. He was a Jew. Theodor Herzl was a kofer. He celebrated the 25th of December, and so on. But he was a yid. He was a yid, and he had a neshama. He was a yid. And so it is with all of the bali plukta that the Yiddish neshamas. In the neshama, there's no machlokes. Once you already get to ruach and to nefesh, and then you get to the Olam HaMaisa, Diburim, and so on, then this tremendous machlokes. But in the world of the Neshama, there's no machlokes between one Jew and another. It's a machlokes. It's no machlokes at all. Chol Oiskim Neshmasa Derais, he says, Rav Kook says, this is what I want, this is what I'm longing for, by all of those, and those of you, he says, who he's talking to in this letter, what are you talking about? All these machlokes and neshmasa deraisa. Kmoshi chaviva alay ad la'achas. This is the most dear thing to me. Ubedoros ha'achronim. Some of you, this will probably be familiar to this sentence. We could not learn this whole letter. There's not time for right now. This is ubedoros ha'achronim. And we've always had huge fights, always. But ubedoros ha'achronim in these last few generations, Rav Kook says. The Ikka Machlokes is between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. That was the rage. That was the Ikka Machlokes, of course, at that time. But B'Doros HaChronim, he says, and Dafka B'Doros HaChronim, Yofalonu Ma'od. What's most beautiful to us is Kol Sichasam Shal Talmidei HaGra Yachadim Talmidei HaBal Shem Tov. Any discussions and conversations that take place between the students of the Vilna Gaon and the students of the Baal Shem Tov. Which he himself was such a person. Even in his Ichas, from his mother's side, he came from Chabad Hasidim, and from his father's side, Kapas Chabad Hasidim, and from his father's side, he came from his magnet. He says, and all of his teachings is this integration of those two worlds. He says, Shayyom the Bematzav Kolkach Nigudi Zelu Mazeh B'Shaitam. He says, B'Shaitam, when this machlokes started, they stood apart, so far apart. And he goes on to speak to the writers, the poets of the generation, how they could be helpful in building bridges and so on, instead of generating more anger and more machlokes and so on. But this is the whole tachlis of what Rav Kook is writing about here in Chochmas HaKadosh. So let's look inside.
I never realized he was from a mixed marriage like that. That's a big part of why he is who he is.
Sure. I never knew that. Yeah, yes. His grandfather,
wow.
I forgot which of his shtelas when he was a Rav, right now, which town it was in, but it was a town that consisted mostly of Chabad Hasidim. And he would go on Shemini Atzeres at different times, and he was saying Mamorim and Chabad Chasidus like one of the Lubavitcher rabbis. He said Mamorim and Chasidus. His grandfather was Brother Tzemach Tzedek. He actually had he had the yarmulke he would wear on Holy Yom Hashanah Yom Kippur. He wore the Tzemach Tzedek's. He had a yarmulke from the Tzemach Tzedek that he wore on Hashanah Yom Kippur under his father Gishtrain. He wore a yarmulke from Tzemach Tzedek. He was a combination of those two worlds. And his father, the father's side, there was the family was Pinnis, they were Misnagdim. Misnagdim. And there were many marriages that were like that. There were then, and they're like that now. No. But he had those two worlds that were inside of him. Yeshnan Deos Ka'ela. So Shlav Rishon, Isnagdus Mokletus, Hedeas Aseres. Again, you have to remember that the Nozi was the one, again, I'm just reminding you, the Nozi was the one that put all these terrors together. Rav Kook didn't write this as a book. There's no, Rav Kook didn't write three vibes, now it's four vibes. He didn't write Oris HaKadosh. He had a million papers. And he gave these bags to the Nozi and he said, see what you can do with them. That's pretty much what happened. And there were papers, even like different things in cardboard back of boxes, because he was like Rabbi Nachum, and also he would have a machshava, and he would just rip something that wherever he was, and he'd start to write. So it's like packages of papers, and the Nozer, as we spoke about that, took years, but the Nozer was trying to make shalom out of all of these papers. There's still people working on these papers, and there's more bigs that haven't even been opened. I mean, they've been looked at by some people, but the world still is waiting for them. More Svarim for a book that are waiting to come out. It's amazing. That it has to do also with machlokes, the family, and this, and other things, that the papers are not coming out. We have writings from a book that there's a sefer that came out 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We're sitting, it's unbelievable stuff. And exciting, you know, 100 years later, to get a new sefer from Rav Kook. And there's more to come. There's more to come. So the Nozer got all these papers, and he remarkably put together these svarms. I was like, okay, so if it seems to be a little bit repetitious, he's not repeating it. It was a Torah that could be written 5 years, 10 years, was different, something a different Torah, but he was with this he was in this sugya, and the Nozer put it together to help us understand the whole Indian. So Rav Kook writes Yeshnan. Deus ke'ele she'en luchrochos defi teva odom ligrom bispashtuson telodos mazikos. There are certain deus, certain ideas she'en luchrochos that they absolutely unquestionably will bring to some problem in the future. Defi teva odom ligrom bispashtuson telodos mazikos. There's some ideas, the one that Rav Kook speaks about here, and he spoke about a great deal, which was at his time was a very, very big Indian, was evolution. Evolution. Darwin was at that time. So that was a big hack. Evolution was the big hack. Right away, you know, all the bashkulas went up everywhere, Kfir, Shoyim, Apigarsim, Yamak Shamam, Bezuhim, and so on. And Rav Kook is saying, there's something there, you know. And they got very angry at him. Listen to what he says over here. He says, there's no question. There are certain ideas that this, when that idea, the branches of that idea, where they're going to go, the spastus, lefiteva, ligrom, spastus, talodus, mazikus, it's going to cause damage. The branches of this idea are going to cause problems. Ligrum hispashtusa, tolodos, this idea is going to give birth to tzaras. It's going to give birth to tzaras. Even though ba'atzmusan, and he's not even talking about Jewish movements, he says, you'll see, even though ba'atzman, the example that I gave a few weeks ago, and this was also rumbling at that time, it was starting really more at that time, was communism, that yesh ben ba'atzman mo'ilos v'amityosay. And I mentioned last week, you can see the same thing when it comes to feminism. And you can see the same thing when it comes to equality, racial equality, all of these. Ba'atzman de amityosay. The movements themselves are emes. Not the movements, the etzem, the shurish, they're emes. This is a certain time that mankind said must speak. It's not for this that people are not people who are slaves or people who have a different color, that they're being mistreated. It must speak. Or that women are not being treated properly. Must speak. The shurish of that is something which is very holy. Now, what this brings about, this creates in the teva of the Ruach HaAdam, is what? To wage a war against it. To try to eradicate these ideas. To completely eradicate these ideas. Well, Nagi L'Deos Halom, to fight against these Deos. And Rav Kook's not disagreeing that the Mocham is necessary. Rav Kook spoke about that, and we'll see, that sometimes, because of how dangerous they are at that time, they need to be cut at that time. But he believed that it's very short-sighted to ignore the truth that was revealed through these movements of the world. It's very short-sighted. Instead, what we need to do is to, as we learned in the last hour, to draw, to be shohev, to adapt, and to get to the sherish of the idea. What is it that communism was talking about? What is it that evolution is talking about? What's the pnimius of evolution? There's Ashgacha Prot, that's why at that time, evolution, the whole Indian of evolution took over the world. What's the Nakudha Pnimis of evolution? It was not biological evolution, fear of monkeys and people. It's not the Sherish Pnimi of evolution, of how Yiddishkeit evolves, of how the Tzuras HaOdom, the Tzelem Okim evolves. That Rav Kook shows over and over. It's very, very, very Jewish. It's from Pnimius HaTorah. It's the deepest teachings of Torah. But the nature of a person is that when you see something and you see it and you look at it in a superficial way and you recognize how dangerous this could potentially be, is the nature of people, and sometimes it's absolutely necessary. The nature is to wage a war, just to fight. L'nagi l'deis halo. In order that they not cause any damage with the branches that are mispashtim. That the branches that are mispashtim should not cause damage. I told you what kind of trouble Rav Kook got into because he agreed that the guys in the yeshivas have to have exercise. They weren't talking about having the Maccabee, and they weren't talking about leagues. All they were talking in Yerushalayim was let the guys out, Rav Kook said, let them go out a little bit outside and let them walk around and a little bit of, like a push-up. He wasn't talking about basketball or soccer. He was saying, look, the guys just like walk a little bit, just walk a little bit outside. Oh, the whole Yerushalayim, Russia, the Russia, cook, Russia, cook. And crazy. It's goyish. He took it from the gymnasiums. He's taking it from the maskilim, because the secular schools, they had gym. And they had sports, and he wants us to become like Athens. He's going to write now. Next thing we're going to have here, Athens. He's going to build the Olymp, what's it called in Athens, the Colosseum. He's going to make a whole. That's not Athens, right? He's going to make a whole. I don't know if it's Rome or Athens. Whatever. He's going to make a whole big, Colosseum and stadium. And there's still people that write that, like when there's a stadium there, they put up the same kind of things. And Rav Kook said, the guys are dying. And there's absolute truth to the fact that young men need to get out a little bit. And he wanted them to go on Tiulim to see Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted, he said, we could use this as a way to teach Tanakh to the guy. Crazy, they went crazy. Now, to us, this sounds great. I mean, you're paying like $20,000 to have your kids do that stuff. I don't mean for over the years, I mean for 1 year. So, but at the time, radical rishis, apikarsis. And it's Hashgacha Pratis. There needed to be some tempering of that, of course. Hashem has this worked out. These melchamas, especially in Yerushalayim, you know, even if you go outside Yerushalayim, it's much less fierce, but in Yerushalayim, you have the old chevron. The other melchamas are bitter melchamas. Bitter. And then they become, of course, personal melchamas. Rav Cook's walking on the street, and somebody, the poor, fills in the toilet on his head. These are things that were going on in Yerushalayim. So Rav Avinir explains, Yeshna de'yesha hi ba'atzma emes. There's an idea that hi ba'atzma is emes. And you know, if we think about this when we're having a disagreement with another Jew, forget about all these world movements. Just like when you're talking to your wife, or when you're having a disagreement with somebody, and you have your shita, and if you get past the whole emotional thing and the need to be right and your ego and all the other, you know, yeshus and gaiva issues, if you get past that. Somebody was just telling me that he had a whole fight with another guy, and this guy mamish like this to crush him, like killed him. This Indian, whatever they were arguing over. In the meantime, this guy went off someplace on a trip. He went to Europe somewhere. He had some business, and he called up the Shimon who was on the trip. Called up Reuven to say, I thought about it a lot, and I'm sorry. Even though I still disagree with some of the Nakudas, but what you're saying is right, and we need to work on this. And that's a very admirable thing. Most people don't do that. Most people don't do that. Even when they come to that eureka moment, like, oh, maybe there's something there. They don't make a call, not a long-distance call. They don't make a call like, I'm sorry, there was something that was, I'm thinking about it. I hear what you're saying, but there are certain nakudas that I'm uncomfortable with, but I hear what you're saying. That's already a chashuva thing.
It takes about 25 years at least in marriage, I'll find.
No, most people die, and when they're lying by in the cemetery next to each other, they're still going at it. There was that cartoon that somebody sent me like 7-8 years ago. There was some like guy, some old man, like he couldn't take it from his wife anymore. She was like everything in his life. She was like arguing with him, so he hanged himself. And in the cartoon, he's dangling from a noose. And he wrote it like a suicide note, and he said like I couldn't take it anymore on the suicide note. And the wife comes into the house and she sees him hanging from the ceiling, and there's a suicide note, and she looks and he says, he can't spell. You see how he did that? That's how he spells it. So you like. Till the bitter end, there's machlokes.
Yeah, that's a joke. Why didn't men usually die first?
Oh, yeah?
Because they want to.
So, even in our personal lives, it takes a certain amount of honesty and humility to be able to say, it's a doctor. Yeah. Now, remember, now people are saying, oh, Rameh, he was onto something. Like, it took, how many Jews have to die before people are saying, I think they were Rameh Khan. He was onto something. He was onto a lot. Again, are there nakudas by what he was saying that you could argue with? There are certain nakudas, but the etzem harayon of a Jewish Eretz Yisrael, no, he was onto something. I was still suffering from the fact that we weren't listening carefully because it was such a hisnagas, because of some of the hispashas of what was going on, the branches of Rav Meir Kahana and some of his chevra and what was going on. So, and some things that he would say that were very, 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 very hard to hear. So that his spashtus, a melchama against the Americana, get him out of the Knesset and get him away from everything and everybody, and he has to be put into jail, and he was dangerous and so on. The Etzem HaDavar. My mother-in-law, Lash Shalman, he was talking on the television. She was standing up the whole time. Oh, Meir, Meir, Meir. She was like the biggest Meir Kahanan. And she was screaming. You know, but we have to, so that was like when she was like going at it with Meir Kahanan, how she loved him. My father, Lash Shalman, also loved him. He used to say sometimes, it's a little bit, take it easy a little bit. It was mostly he was worried what everybody's going to do to him because he sang those things. But I remember that Tekufa, those who were around at that time, remember the tumult that was going over when Meir Kahanan was saying, I remember when he came to YU, and he spoke, and the fact that they let him speak there to all the students was itself a chiddush. He used to come there, but then even in the later years he came, I remember being outside of the in between the buildings there on the campus, and he gave a whole drush. And there were signs up, the people were angry, and he shouldn't be allowed in, and so on. The Etzem Harayom, she said, but the Espash just could be Mazik. So he explains why we're in there. Yesh Nadea Shehi Ba'atzma Emes Ulam Ha'anofim Espashtim Yimena Mazikim Hei. The Anofim that are Espashtim, the branches that grow, are Mazikim. They cause damage. L'chein Ha'odim Nilcham Neged Ha'deas Ha'lam. Therefore, we intuitively fight against these deas. Heyos Va'deas Ha'lalu Amitiyos. But what Rav Kook is teaching us is that since these deyas are really amitios, the deyas themselves are emes. But the espashtus of these deyas, the way they, where they grow, where they go, the espashtus is mazika, damages. Yesh lahavchin. Ben hadeila mispashit mimena. Rav Kook is saying that we have to try to discern between the deya itself and the hispashtus of the deya when it gets into the wrong hands. The hispashtus of the deya. Ben hadeila mispashit mimena be'amsoz birur hegyoni. Seichel. To analyze, to dissect. Maran Rav Kook yidgim tfisa zu v'yaches l'teres ha'yispatchus. And Rav Kook, in many places, he brings here in the note, in Aris HaKadosh, a little bit later, in Aris HaKadosh, Mishnah will get to that, where Rav Kook spoke about this in terms of the Torah of Hitpatchut, which means evolution. Ashihi kishala atzma emes. It's true. Evolution itself, the idea itself is true, that the world is progressing, that the world is improving. And even in terms, even in the world of Torah, Api Kabbalah, we've discussed this many times, it's not for now to go into that, even in the world of Torah. Now, in the world of Torah, we were all raised with the theme song of Miskat Nadaris. It used to be good, now it's lousy. Even though Shlomo says, if you talk that way, it's not a chacham. But we were all raised with this klal that seemed to us to be a klal, all of Yiddishkeit and all of life and all of Torah, that everything used to be better, and now things are worse than they used to be. Yiddishkeit, with Torah, with everything, things are worse than they used to be. And that's not true. That's absolutely not true. Rav Kook, of course, explains the chilik between the Gedolim and the Hamon Am, and we spoke about this many times, how as far as the individual tzaddikim, yes, there were great exalted tzaddikim that we have not been able to, mitzad the prat, the individual, to replicate. But mitzad the Hamon and the Klal, there's no question that there's been unbelievable evolution of the species, of Am Yisrael, over the years. There's no question. Shehila Atzma Emes, let's just finish this paragraph. Ulam ha-hashlocha is evolution, how it was mispashet and how it was taken and applied, those are destructive and negative idea. The idea became, was then, it became something destructive. The three great revolutions in the way of thinking, scientific and industrial and so on, these great changes that caused zazuah, caused shock to the whole world, shook up the whole world. Shlomo ben Tzedek. He says, Chaval, Shlomo ben Tzedek. Didn't have to go that way. Shlomo ben Tzedek. Hamapechos alol kishalatzim and nechomas. The mapechos themselves were true. Just like feminism is true, communism is true, socialism is true. It's true in the etzim. They're true. They're true. There's truth in the etzim, in the shorosh. But they went off into crazy, crazy stuff, crazy things. Kishalatzim and nechomas. Avayeshlan hashlochos shlilios vispashtus. But the outcome, the spashtas are very, very negative and destructive. Bishlav nafshi zeh hayispashtas mazika. At that spiritual point in time, in the history of this idea, this spashtas is dangerous. L'chein ha'odem is snagid lehen b'ofen muchlat. And therefore, there's a tremendous hisnagdus, as there should be. There's a hisnagdus. B'shas maisa, there's a hisnagdus. Because the hispashtus is very, very dangerous. And because the hispashtus already has started to spread and to move, therefore there needs to be a milchama against that, against the beginning of that hispashtus of the thank you very much. Describe. There needs there needs to be a milchama.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes.
With the word evolution, we're not talking about the concept of evolution of the physical body.
Go back around 4 minutes. Remember what I said? I said not biological.
Oh, okay. I got a little music.
No, we're not talking about...
At all.
No. He's not talking about cells, and he's not talking about monkeys. He's talking...
Just a progression of Jews in history.
Ruchnius, Avodas Hashem, and towards Mashiach, and so on. Just, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. That's the main thing. Shlav Sheni. So, what Rav Kook writes is that what happens historically is that there's going to be an initial all-out war against that. Idea or that movement, because it's starting to, they're movements and they're moving away from the original idea. They're moving away. They're mispashing. So there are wars against, there's going to be a war. That's Shlav Aleph. Like we were learning in the last Maimer, that's Shlav Aleph. So Rav Kook writes, and the war goes on. Ad shi yisagalo ha'odlam gevura yoser el yonim imkar haruchani. Until the individual, if it's an individual issue that you're having with somebody else, a machlekes with somebody else, or a bigger machlekes, it continues on, until a person reaches a higher level of strength, a higher gvura. Gvura yoser elyona, mimkara haruchani. When he reaches deeper into his makar, the source, his ruchni is like a reservoir. The deeper he reaches into that place, when he reaches more deeply, then he has more gvur. Like this guy that called up his friend and said to him, I've been thinking about it more, and I hear what you're saying. So this happens all the time when you're learning with a chavrusa. This happens all the time. Fighting over something and learning, and at some point you're fighting this bitter and wonderful battle over the pshat and the gemara or in Taisus, whatever, you're fighting this milchama, and then at some point when you're in the middle of screaming and yelling, or maybe when you calm down a little bit, it dawns upon you that it's not so posh. Now you have to see what kind of a person you are. I told this a famous story about Rav Soloveitchik, which I'd like to say over, that Rav Soloveitchik, is a friend of Levracha, he used to give the most amazing shiurim. They would go on for 2-3 hours. And when he was in his strength, they'd tell stories about how he would go into the dormitory in his robe and his pajamas, and he's banging on the guy's dormitory rooms to get up and come back to the Beis Medrash. And they heard, and they heard banging on the door. He says, "Get up, get up!" And the guys, they would get dressed, and they would come to the Beis Medrash or to the classroom. And they were, and the Rav Soloveitchik said, "I don't know how you're able to sleep. What I said today in Shia was wrong. How are you able to sleep?" As he said. And he didn't say it like it was a nice thing, a funny thing to say. He said, "How are you able to go to sleep? It didn't bother you the way I what I said. This is all shek." And my wife's uncle was present at one of these things. And the guys are sitting in the middle of the night, and he says over the mahalach is like this. And he said over a different shiur till the morning, a new shiur. But he didn't understand. It doesn't bother you, such a thing that I said so far crooked, so crooked that I thought you're lying there like that. And they thought it was the best shiur they ever heard in their lives. the emes of the person. Somebody told me they remember they were sitting across the street from the yeshiva. There was from the library. There was a luncheonette. Used to call it the Greasy Spoon. There's a reason why it was called that. So there was a luncheonette, and who walks in there? Also, Rav Soloveitchik walks in into the and the guys are sitting there because he was looking for a certain bacher. Who he criticized something that he said during the shiur. He said, "This book, the Tamratzis, you don't know what you're talking about." And then the Rav was thinking about it, and he went to find this bacher. And the friends told him he's in the Greasy Spoon. So the Rav went into the luncheonette. He met everybody, even the workers there. Everybody just stopped, and he walked in, and he went over to the guy, and he says, "I have to talk to you. I was wrong. What you said was good." And it's the emes. The emes and the humility and the gevura, the strength of a person to be able to reach deep into the makar, that when someone's arguing with you, to reconsider, to reevaluate, to be able to say that you're right. I might disagree with, again, Nukud Aleph Beis Gimel, but you're right. You're right. I completely destroyed what you said, and it was wrong. That's in every chavrusa, when you're learning, and everything in life. So, this requires a certain gevura. Gevura yose el yonim makar haruchani. You have to reach into the makar haruchnius, into your spiritual resources and your reservoir, and you have to pull out something deeper. Vaz margesh hu shem dosa lo tifchar klal mispashto shel hadeyes halalu shel nocham negdan. And you will find, Rav Kook, that you'll be able to realize, you'll be able to feel that your opinion, your stance, has no reason to be afraid from the spashtus, even the spashtus of these ideas that you're fighting against. Even with the spashtus, you don't have to be afraid. You could argue, you could fight. You don't have to destroy everything. You don't have to go crazy. If you're secure and you're honest, you don't have to be afraid. In other words, Rav Kook said, we can still talk about evolution while disregarding and fighting against the man-monkey business. We can still access the truth of what was being taught at that time that Hashem revealed through this person and that person. We can still talk about it. You don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid. What are you getting so worked up about it? Don't be afraid. He says the war will go on until that point that you realize that you have the ability to remain secure in your way of life, in your idea of life, and to extract what is valuable and true from the opposing idea in life. And that could only help you embellish and to improve who you are. And you don't have to destroy it anymore. You don't have to ignore it or destroy it. But Rav Kook is agreeing that the Muhammad at the beginning is necessary. But now you realize later on, you realize that this Muhammad was good for me. The Muhammad was good for me. At the beginning of his iris, Rav Kook has a few terrors on Muhammad, on war. They're amazing. Many years ago he did one of them. The amazing Torahs. where he speaks about the holiness of war. How can it be? The holiness of war, Kedusha of Muhammad. Only a Rav Kook could take such a thing. He says, Muhammad is a huge birur. It's a huge birur. But just think what's going on now. And that's just so. You and I, we're all, I think, everybody here, I don't think each one of us has to speak up. I'm perfectly happy to hear what you have to say. I think all of us have quite a clear idea that there's, in Eretz Yisrael, and what happened recently, there's Tov and Ra. Huh? That Israel, the Israelis, our boys and girls, Tov. Hamas, Ra. No? Do you find it frustrating that that's not so obvious to the rest of the world? Like, how do you have a problem with that? The Jews are calling up. It's bizarre. There's no other people in the world have to have a war like this. The English, the Americans, the French don't do anything anymore. They just surrender. But anybody, all other armies, when they're fighting, they fight to win, to destroy. If you didn't even start the war. So the Israelis are making phone calls to tell the Arabs in the building, listen, Chavre, we're going to blow your building up. You got to get out of there. It's time to leave. Go.
Have another hour, he says. You see some of these calls?
I have
an hour to get my stuff out. He's
telling me. I didn't know. So I didn't know that. So he says, a phone call. In the meantime, Hamas, they only want the people to stay in the building. Not them. They go into their tunnels, but they want their women and children, and the old people to stay in the building, so that then all of the newspapers and the Associated Press are all going to report that the Jews killed civilians. Do you know how many civilians the Americans killed when they went into Iraq? Do you know how many civilians? It wasn't 100, 116, 119, however, okay, 1,000, over 1,000. When they went in, nobody even talks about it. Ain't nobody even dorms, nothing. That's what, listen, get out of the way. But nobody tells the enemy in advance, we're coming there. This is where we're going to be blowing up. Take your towels and fill in and leave. No one does that. No one does that. Then on the other, so that's one team. That's one team. Other team, the Hamas team, the Shoim terrorists who have destroyed the lives of their own people. Who are thugs and murderers who take children and use them as karbanis, who put missiles into hospitals, into nursing homes. So you would think that this is like everybody here, like everybody gets it. Even the women in Congress would agree with this. That this is like Taif and Ra. Like, what's complicated here? What do you need to work out over here? That's not true. It's not bichlal, not true. It's not true. Not even in our own government is it clear to everybody. Not even our own government. They voted. They made that a vote. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. So what's the need of a milchama? When there's a milchama, there's a birur. Of which side you're on. One of the tzaddikim said, there's no question at the end that terror is going to be victorious. What you need to worry about is you make sure that when it happens, you're on the right side. You make sure you're on the side of terror. In the end, terror is going to win. In the end, the Baruch Hashem is going to win. You better make sure you're on the right side. That's what it's about. A milchama is a tremendous birur between Tov and Ra. Not that you and I need any birurim when it comes to Hamas. We don't need any birurim. But the world needs to have a birur between Tov and Ra. It's absolutely astonishing that it's not clear. And if you think about it, you can go out of your kelim. It's better not to think about it. You might as well go out of your kelim. So the only answer to it is that the sinner of the Jewish people, the hatred, like my daughter, one of my daughters, she can't get past this. She, day and night, she's upset about this. And I'm telling you, I said, they hate us. They hate us because we're Jews. This has nothing to do with territory. This has to do with territory. They didn't try to kill us. They didn't make a war against us in 1948. There were no occupied territories. This is not about territory. It's not about Shimon HaTzadik, a couple of buildings by Shimon HaTzadik that Jews owned, and they give to the Arabs rent free. It's not about real estate. This is about what it says clearly in the charter of Hamas. That it's not, and it's not even about Zionism. It's not about Eretz Yisrael. That's why Jews get beaten up in the street in Manhattan and in Toronto and in London. It's not about Eretz Yisrael. It's about Sinas Yisrael. Sinas Yisrael. And we would expect that after all that's happened these last years, and especially in the 20th century, that the whole world would get up and say what this is. That this is Sinas Yisrael. And how can it be that you would find a Lima Schus on a terrorist organization? On terrorists. How can you have a Lima Schus? My daughter, this daughter, she sells things, she has art, and she does beautiful stuff that she has on, I guess, I don't know, Instagram, maybe that's Instagram, or one of these ways of selling things she has on the
eBay.
Something like that. And so she wrote something about, Chizik for Eretz Yisrael. I said she shouldn't have done that. You have to put that over there. You wouldn't believe the kind of things that people sent her. I didn't even know that they're going, that she has, her artwork is all about, it's 99% about Yerushalayim and paintings of Tzaddikim. And she has, and you wouldn't believe what people were writing to her. And then she's asking me how to answer. She wants to answer. So I said, the answer is, leave me alone, you anti-Semite. You're an anti-Semite. And they wrote whole long drushes. You would see these drushes that these people are writing to my daughter. She's just a nice little girl that said, hooray, Eretz Yisrael, something like that, hooray, Israel. Mm-hmm. And they wrote crazy letters people are writing. And they're like, they're not just Arabs that are writing, these are like, and a milchama, a war, is what side are you on? And there's no bigger beer in the world, as painful and as terrible as wars are, to me, Mavira, right and wrong. World War II for the free world was a tremendous beer. Even you remember when it was by the World Trade Center, for a little bit, for like a couple of weeks, there was the truth was clear. You remember that? And it was good. It went away very quickly. But there was that when it happened, and even the rest of the Chedah, all waving American flag, there was a beer for a little bit. But then right away, the Hispashtas, then it gets into the Hispashtas. But the Milchama, the Etzema Milchama, is to Mavara, right and wrong, good and bad. And if you're in a Milchama, and you don't believe what you're fighting for, and you don't see that this is the truth, and this is right, so by nature, you're going to be very strongly bound to your belief and your opinion, which could cause you to kill lots of innocent people. I have no doubt that Hamas believe in what they're doing. They're sincere people. That's not the argument. That's not the argument. But the sheker of it. So a melchama is a birur. And what Rav Kook is saying over here is that through the melchama, against what's wrong with the idea, through the melchama, that strengthens you, that gives you chizik. The melchama itself is mechazik you in the knowledge of that truth that you believe in. It's not going to endanger the truth that you believe in. It's good to fight against evolution. There's a melchama that needs to be waged, a war that needs to be fought against evolution, but not to then throw away the whole evolution. It's to, now that you can look back and say, that war had to be fought, but the truth, the etzem hadavar, I'm not afraid of. I'm not afraid of. And that makes you stronger in your beliefs when you fight, when you debate. It makes you stronger in who you are, and who you believe in. This is a big mistake that's being made, b'chlal. The whole derech hachinuch, no different ideas can be out there. Because any different idea is going to destroy your kid. was destroying the kids, is that way of thinking. It's terrible. Because benkach or benkach, they're going to meet up with a million different ideas in life. And they're not prepared at all. At all. And the second something a little bit different, comes their way, chafal, they lose. So Hashem is going to be mechazik us in the truth. And Hashem is going to destroy the Rishayim, which is like for the Alechtik and Shabbos.